play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks boys basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. By McDonald's, I'm loving it. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. And now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee with Silver Streaks Basketball on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
And let's go right down to public address announcer Gary Mitchell. Recognition of the 1956-57 boys basketball team takes place.
During the 1956-57 season, this ball club faced in the sectional championship game one of the most talented feared teams in Illinois, the Rock Island Rocks. The Rocks were led by future NBA champion and NBA's all-time winningest coach, Don Nelson. In an IHSA basketball classic, the Streaks, who were coached by the legendary coach John Thiel, after whose gym this is named, pulled off the monumental upset and defeated the Rocks in what is now known as the Stall Game, 23-21. And somebody that was there, it was a great game. Galesburg went on from there to an Elite Eight appearance and a 23-7 record. Let's salute this tremendous team and meet the players from the 1956-57 Silver Streaks. We'll lead off with Phil Erickson. He's followed by Ted Brewington, Frank Youngquist, Jim Range, whose son is Joey, and his grandson was JJ, who played earlier this evening. Albert Kimbrough. Al Noche Williams, the greatest jumper in Galesburg history. Bobby Hoffman. And two players missing, Doug Mills and Albert Kimbrough. And regretfully, four members of this team are deceased. Jack Grady, Dwayne White, Bill Toreen, and Bill Finley. Ladies and gentlemen, the 1956-57 Galesburg Silver Streaks team, the immortal team of 56-57. Let's give them one more hand. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's, everybody up. I direct your attention to the fourth banner there, 1957. And that is in honor of this team, the IHSA Boys Basketball Elite Eight.
Once again, Galesburg boys battling United Township tonight as we play the first Western
Big Six
game.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Of the 19 of the
now let's get ready to
2013 portion of the schedule. And now for our starting lineup.
Let's meet the players for United Township. 6'2", sophomore guard, number 4, Ryan Meredith. 5'10", junior guard, number 10, Cody Vroman. 5'8", junior forward, number 22, Trevor May. 6'3", junior forward, number 30, Dalton Oaks. And a 6'3", sophomore guard, number 40, Lamont Mitchell. Assistant coaches are David Robinson, Mark Crawford, and Donnie McDuffie. And the head coach is Mr. Mark Polite. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the starting lineup for your Galesburg Silver Streaks. A 5'10", a senior guard, number 1, Diggins, Travon Diggins. A 6-foot freshman guard, number 4, Meeker, Ethan Meeker. 6'1", senior guard, number 11, Cheeseman, Carson Cheeseman. 6'2", sophomore guard, number 32, Gibson, Grant Gibson. And his 6'5", senior forward, number 40, Carl, Ryan Carl. Assistant coaches for the Streaks, Mr. Steve Cheeseman, Mr. Ryan Hart, Mr. Matt Pogue. Managers are Maddie Reed and Rihanna Harrison. And the head coach of the Streaks, Mr. Mike Reynolds. And now let's play some basketball.
Our thanks, as always, to public address announcer Gary Mitchell for tonight's starting lineups and kind of a late start tonight. The sophomore game went long, and then certainly the special recognition ceremonies for the 1956-57 boys basketball team, the famous stall game with the win over Rock Island 23-21, the Rock Island team that featured Don Nelson, who went on to a great career in the NBA. The Streaks win the tip against a Panthers team that is only 3-13 on the season, but they do have a win in the Western Big Six. Galesburg at 2-1, tied with Rock Island, trailing Quincy 3-0. Ethan Meeker hits a three from the top of the arc. That's how Galesburg started it the other night in a win over Dunlap on Tuesday. Let's hope it's a little easier than it was that night. Sophomores won here tonight, 36-34. UT missed a shot at the buzzer that would have won it. Penetrating down the lane. Ball batted away. Stolen by the Streaks. Teron Diggins leads the break. Lost it on the way up. Reached in. Knocked out of bounds by Ryan Meredith of the Panthers. And Galesburg will hang on to it.
Trevon saying where was the foul on that one. But early on, especially in these games, they usually let them play for a little bit until things start to get heated as we wear it on. Streaks trying to get out to a nice lead here. UT challenged offensively. If we could get up big early, you'd like our chances.
Carson Cheeseman on the outside, works his way to the right of the dribble. Now over to Ethan Meeker. Briefly was open on the outside. They're going to get it to Carl, top of the circle, and he hits a three.
We must be at home. Everybody's comfortable letting fly the three-point ball early.
Ryan let one go way up high on that one. It's 6-0 Galesburg in the early going. Cody Vroman, right side into the corner to Trevor May, just a 5'8 junior. Not a real big Panther team, probably one of the smallest ones we've seen, certainly in Coach Mark Polite's 5 years. With the dribble out high, Ryan Meredith saw him get a lot of playing time as a freshman in his first varsity game last year when Galesburg went to United Township. And he's continued to build on that as they turn it over in the half court. Galesburg with a chance to build on an early 6-0 lead. We're not even a minute and a half in. Here's Grant Gibson driving in from the left side. Draws a double team, gets it up and in anyway. It's 8-0 Galesburg.
I think he actually thought of kicking it in the corner, too, to Meeker, who was open. But Grant went ahead and muscled it up and in over two guys, and it worked out.
At the top of the circle, Meredith skips it over left side. Now the dribble back out high by Vroman. He's cut off by Meeker. They'll keep it on the perimeter to Lamont Mitchell. Tallest player in the UT starting lineup at 6'3". He's just a sophomore. On the right side, bounce pass, top of the circle, down the right side of the lane, cut off Meredith. The sophomore kicks it back out, dribbling it off his foot. May goes over to the left side, now into the corner of Vroman. Reverses it back to Trevor May. Top of the circle, Mitchell for three. That one's down.
That was a rainbow. He really put the arch on that one. The first shot attempt of the game for UT after they were down 8-0. Draws the bottom of the net. They get on the board.
2 minutes in, Galesburg with a nice stretch of games here in the Western Big Six with UT and Alleman this week, followed by Moline and Quincy in the next 2 weeks. So the Streaks trying to take advantage of being on the home court. On the right side, Grant Gibson. Put a little bit of a push, cut off on the baseline, out to Diggins at the top of the circle. Right side over to Cheeseman. Back to Grant from the corner, off the back of the rim. And the rebound UT and a bump foul called by Ryan Carl as Dalton Oaks came down with his first rebound, and the Streaks will give it back.
Yeah, great opportunity for the Silver Streaks this week and next to go 4-1 to start the conference season. It's been a long time since we won four of our first five conference games. And the team that beat us, we've got coming back in our gym, Quincy, later in the season.
Not that Moline will be an easy game, too, but they've got the Maroons on their home court here in 3 weeks as well. 5:10 to go first quarter here. 8-3 Galesburg, UT with the ball. In the left corner, Mitchell with it. Now dribbles it back out. Picks it up. Coming out high for the pass, Ryan Meredith between the circles, guarded by Carson Cheeseman. Streaks open in a man defense. And UT struggling with it here a bit. Now pulling up just inside the arc. Mitchell way off the mark. Rebound on the floor, fought for, and then sitting on the ball and sliding out of bounds. Dalton Oaks didn't mean to plant his booty on the ball, but scrambling for it, he went down with it and rolled it out of bounds. So the Panthers have given it back to the Streaks, leading by five.
A good hustle by Dalton Oaks for the Panthers that time. Actually beat Meeker, had a step on him to the ball, but Ethan was, I think he just thought it was going out of bounds, and Oaks came up there nearly stole it away.
So the United Township team that comes in averaging only about 48 points a game. So they have really struggled offensively. And now Steele. Grant Gibson brought the ball down low. Trevor May just reached in, batted it away, leads the break to the other end. He throws it high up into the air and swishes it. Now UT pulls within three at 8-5.
Yeah, we said the other night, Pekin and these guys were tied at 8 at halftime. Pekin's a big club, though. I think UT probably has trouble getting shots off against them.
Gibson in the lane. Cheeseman tries to get it over to Diggins on the side. It's batted out of bounds. Talked with Coach Mike Reynolds in the pregame about Streaks playing strong defense. He said, yes, that's true, but we've got to start playing strong on offense. He didn't feel that they played strong on offense against Dunlap on Tuesday night. We got a strong start here tonight, but getting that comfortable lead didn't seem to execute quite as well.
Yeah, speaking of strong, we're already seeing a couple of the UT players and Grant Gibson bumping pretty hard. Trevor May right there, and earlier on, Dalton Oakes threw an arm up in the air, so it's starting early here with the physical play.
Good shot from the wing by Meeker won't go down, but Marcus Ross chases down the rebound, coming off his career-high 7 rebounds in the win over Dunlap on Tuesday. Joe Williams also into the game with the typical 2 substitutions in at about the halfway point of the first quarter for Galesburg. Diggins on the outside to Meeker, swirling around at the top of the circle, gives off to Ross, dribbles it once. Williams comes over to take the handoff pass, drives inside the free throw line, turnaround jumper off the back of the rim. And the rebound by Mitchell for United Township. He gets knocked to the deck as Joe Williams picks up the foul for Galesburg.
Joe Williams was a little surprised when he turned around how wide open he was there and took the shot a little bit too strong. I'd like to see Trevon's due for a breakout offensive game. We saw him play some great basketball at the holiday tournament, and since then he's been held in check a little bit, and I think this is a game where he could do some real damage to United Township with his quickness.
Denzel Jones into the game for Galesburg. So Carl and Diggins, the only two starters on the floor for the Streaks right now, as Jones replaced Meeker. On the left side, Evans Progetis has come into the game, a 5'8 junior. Again, just 5'8, 5'10, another 5'8 player. Pretty small UT team as the Panthers traditionally go. This is May with it on the outside with a high left-hand dribble. Reverses directions down the right side of the lane, dishes it into the right corner, and the jumper is way off the mark. Diggins with a run, on the run with the rebound coming out with it, lays it up and in.
Right on cue. Thank you, Trevon. Hopefully we'll see a lot more of that tonight.
10-5. Galesburg breaks the brief little mini run by the Panthers. Down the left side of the lane, Deverick Rogers, who just missed it at the other end, travels with it. So he missed a shot on one end, now travels a second time down the floor. Streaks with a chance to build on the lead here. Up 10-5, under 3 minutes to go, first quarter.
You know, one thing, Mark Polite has this team playing hard no matter what point of the game. I remember earlier in the season they were behind Quincy 28-3, something like
that. That's right.
And they came back. They didn't win the game, but they made it interesting.
On the outside, Gibson. Marcus Ross gets tripped up by Raymond Terones, and Marcus falls down and gets called for traveling. It's the first turnover, Jim? Right?
Second. Grant had it stolen from him.
Once. 3 on the Panthers, 2 on the Streaks, 2:40 to go here in the first quarter. 10-5 is the Galesburg lead. Sophomores winners tonight, 36-34. Thanks for being with us here on WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee at John Field Gymnasium with you. Nick Simpson, our broadcast engineer, as we're back in conference play for the first time since mid-December. Galesburg at 2-1. As Jim mentioned earlier, great chance to go 4-1 if the Streaks can defend the home court. Here's a missed jumper on the outside and a foul over the back on the Silver Streaks on the weak side rebound. And UT is going to get it back here. Panthers controlling the boards here in the early going over Galesburg.
Well, and that was a lot of three-point shots end up with a long carom, and that's what happened there. And I think, was it Ross they got?
Yep.
Out of position on that rebound.
On the inbound from the right of his own basket, Sprogettis now wings it between two players, two Toronas on the left side, dribbles it out, has it knocked away. Now Diggins knocks it into the backcourt. Sprogettis gets to it for the Panthers. Trevon ought to have a quickness advantage in game, one that he hasn't had for a while.
Yeah, I think he's going to do some good things tonight.
Meredith on the outside, Jones, good defense there. Little spurt pass down to the left block, skip pass to the right side coming in, blocked. As Sprogettis goes up with it, but a foul from the backside on the Silver Streaks.
Here's Marcus again.
Yep. So that'll bring Tyson Parks into the game as Ross picks up his second foul.
Marcus kind of like the girl Sabrina Clay. Her minutes are plagued by a lot of fouls because she's aggressive in there. You like that aggressiveness, but not able to avoid the contact.
First free throw by Sprogettis is up and good. 10-6 is the Galesburg lead. Sprogettis at the free throw line. Hasn't been there a whole lot during the season, but he takes advantage of it. He's 9-12, 75%, now 10 of 13 after making the first and the second. 10-7, UT within three with a minute 55 to go in the first quarter. Jim, you and I visited prior to the game here about the history of this series. Of course, it goes way, way back between these two teams, and we were surprised when we really looked at the numbers how dominant the Panthers have been in recent series, having won 16 of the last 19 games between these two.
Yeah, because if you looked at the Rock Island numbers, you wouldn't be so surprised, but you don't think of United Township having dominated us that way, but that has been the case over the last decade.
Driving down the right baseline, Gibson skips it back out to Williams, shovels it up as he goes down the lane and gets the bank shot.
Woo, Super Joe that time. That was pretty.
Speaking of Rock Island, they lead Moline 19-6 after one quarter. The Rocks and the Streaks tied for second at 2-1. On the outside, Deverick Rogers reaching down. Gibson gets in, takes it away from Taronas. Outlet to Williams, up and in again. Streaks turn a turnover into points. They now doubled up the Panthers at 14-7 with a minute to go in the first quarter. Svergetta spinning. Dribbles away from a double team. Now onto the left lane it goes, driving into the lane. Cut off, pump fake, up, and the shot rolls off by Taronas. But a foul called on Tyson Parks will put Taronas at the line for two.
You mentioned Rock Island playing Moline tonight. First meeting of the season for those rivals. And it's setting up a nice one next week where Rocky and Quincy will meet for the first time. And hopefully we'll have something to say in the conversation for the league title by the end of the season. But you know that last game Quincy and Rocky are going to play, and that's going to be huge for those two teams.
Raymond Taronas, 7 of 12 at the free throw line for the season, makes 1 of 2. Gibson rebounds the miss. Galesburg up 14-8, under 50 seconds to play here in this first quarter. Galesburg scored the first eight. Here's Joe driving in from the left side, gets a bank shot and a foul. Just beat his man on the corner, got the ball on the floor, dribbled around him. Foul called on Spurgettis, his first, and chance for three for Williams, who's made three straight shots now.
Wow, he's really brought it in from the bench in this one, and Joe, he's lightning in a bottle when he's right.
Leads the Streaks in scoring, coming off a career-high 14 in the win over Dunlap Tuesday, and he's halfway there already with the free throw at 17-8. 9-point lead, 40 seconds to go, first quarter. Trevor May on the dribble, works his way to the left side. Now driving in, cut off along the baseline by Williams. Pass back out to May, spinning at the high post. Turnaround jumper off the back of the rim. Parks with the rebound for the Streaks. And ball knocked out of bounds, and a foul called, I believe, on the baseline as Gibson was dribbling against May. And, yep, the official's going to whistle him up all the way from underneath the basket. Not even going to head over to the scoring table to signal that one. First foul on Trevor May. Second team foul on the Panthers. Five on Galesburg. So when the Streaks aren't going well, you can look up at that scoreboard and see more fouls on Galesburg. But defensively hasn't hurt him as they lead by nine with 20 seconds to go, trying to hold for the last shot in the first quarter. Meeker back into the game. Briefly lost the handle on the dribble. Jones gets it back to Ethan. Cut off as he's driving in from the right side. Now, covered up, skips it over into the left corner to Joe Williams with 7 seconds to go. Gibson on the outside, Streaks want to run a couple more seconds, down to three. Now somebody's got to shoot. Meeker from the outside. Here comes Tyson, and the Streaks don't even have any clue that the shot was running out. And Mike Reynolds is looking at his player saying, guys, how can you not be aware? But they lead by nine after one. This is Galesburg High School Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program, so the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
WGIL proudly supports the Galesburg community.
Hi, it's Ashley Blake with WGIL with this reminder. The Monmouth VFW Ladies Auxiliary offers an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet on Sunday the 13th from 7:30 to 11 a.m. It's $7 for adults, and children ages 6 and under are $3.50. Proceeds help support our troops. For details, click on the calendar at WGIL.com.
This public service message is proudly presented by the local staff and management and ownership at WGIL.
Tune in for Fighting Illini basketball as Illinois travels to Wisconsin to take on the Badgers. Coverage begins tomorrow at 12:45.
The Fighting Illini play here, Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Just underway in quarter number two as the Panthers inbound the ball. 4 seconds in, Trevon Diggins picks up his first foul, guarding too closely in the backcourt. Now May circles all the way around to the left side. Diggins stays right with him. Gets the pass away to, well, now on the outside it goes to Cody Vroman between the circles. Picks up the dribble, hands off to May. Diggins sticking right with him. Streak settling back. Kind of a, I was going to say triangle in two, but Ryan Carl's just kind of hanging in the lane there because Dalton Oaks isn't working anywhere near it. Now driving down the right side and a travel called on Cody Vroman driving into the lane. 5 turnovers on UT.
Well, the only
good
thing,
first quarter stats, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, the streak 7 of 10 from the field. Terrific. 2 of those were 3 balls. UT, 2 of 6. They didn't get that many shots off. They turned it over 4 times. Rebounding about even at 6-4. The one stat, though, you got to watch, so we've already got 16 fouls here going into this early second quarter. One more puts them in the bonus, and that could allow them to stay in the game. So let's use our fouls a little more judiciously, especially since we're ahead.
Galesburg up 9, for that matter. 50 seconds into the second quarter. Williams on the outside, Grant Gibson, along with Carl, Meeker, and Diggins. Here's Gibson diving, dumps it off to Carl, misses the shot right under the basket, and the rebound by UT. Good position by Ryan. Good feed from Grant Gibson. Just couldn't finish it off. Here's UT down 9, and then they lose a handle on it. May just took his eyes off the pass, and it dribbled out of bounds away from him. So 2 possessions, 2 turnovers in the second quarter.
You know, that time a body for UT on the last possession went flying in the lane. I don't think he was acting. Grant Gibson got into him pretty good. And there's a lot of shoulders out there. This May, for UT, he's only 5'8", but very stocky.
Yeah.
Strong kid. He likes to challenge. Both he and Trevon have been going at it, and he and Gibson as well. So we got a physical game going here early.
Minute 20 into the second quarter. Here's Carl with it on the right side. Drives all the way in. Shoots over the basket. Drawn with a rebound out to Williams for 3. That one is short. Long rebound. Chased down by the Panthers. Took it away from Williams. He was actually there first, but credit to Keegan Wenskunas, who just came into the game, took it away from Joe. Now on the right side, here's Wenskunas. Fakes with the pump fake, kicks it back out on the dribble drive. Ryan Meredith now on the outside. May, big jump stop in the lane, then just throws it up to the basket. Missed it with the rebound put back. That won't go. And Diggins in the middle comes out with it.
Hayes wasn't a real high percentage shot.
Now Gibson with a 3 at the other end off the back of the rim. High rebound, fought for, and a push foul called going for the rebound. I'm going to call Lamont Mitchell for that one. So Meeker was going for it, and Mitchell got called for the foul on a little push.
Well, after hitting 7 of 10 in the first quarter, we've gotten a little cold here. First 2 minutes of the second, 0 for 4, but we retain possession. Let's see if we can't build that lead up to 11 here.
On the inbound, and an illegal screen set by Galesburg. I think they're going to call Ryan Carl for it, so the Streaks turn it right over anyway. Their third of the game, and that is number 2 of the game. Nope, sorry, just 1 on Ryan Carl.
We've got to lead Western Illinois in those calls.
we get the illegal moving screens.
Yeah, yeah, at least 2 or 3 every game.
Now losing the handle on the ball. UT loses it at half court. Trevon Diggins picks it up, leads the break, a foul, and a chance at a 3-point play.
The worst thing that Evans Progettis for UT could have done was save that ball.
Yeah.
His natural instinct was to, but he didn't know Trevon Diggins was right behind him ready to pick it up. Trevon is so fast.
And he did a nice job shielding the ball with his body there, too, and that allowed him to finish it off.
Yeah, he had a guy right on him the whole time, but he only took about 4 strides, it seemed like, and he was at the basket.
And he misses the free throw. Rebound by Lamont Mitchell. Diggins with 4 in the game. Galesburg's first basket of the second quarter, leading 19-8, and batted out of bounds in the near corner down at the opposite end. Galesburg touches it last. UT hangs on to it.
Well, not that UT couldn't come back and make me eat my words, but so far this almost seems like a breather at this point compared to what we've been playing against. Certainly that team from Chicago just smothered us, and we ended up losing that one at Effingham, and now a foul away from the ball on the Panthers.
So they give it right back. Well, you know, both coaches, and you made the same comment in the pregame, how these teams kind of mirror each other at times, and they did it on opposite end of the floor right there.
Yeah, that was the 7th UT turnover, and then, yeah, they both of these guys, as we said, were under Scott Olson at United Township, and he's just a very hard-nosed physical coach, and their teams reflect the style that he instilled in both Mark Polite and Mike Reynolds.
On the outside, Joe Williams, Grant Gibson between the circles, driving, dishes it off, and a blocking foul called.
course, I found
Ryan Meredith hits the deck. Oh,
that's funny. In the pregame, at Mark Polite, I asked him now, you know, is Mike's team a little more physical? Oh, yeah, by far.
Of course.
Yeah. You'd have thought we were the Broad Street Bullies.
So 16 fouls now on UT after that blocking foul called. Looks like Ryan Carl just about got Grant Gibson just about got taken out of the lane below us. But the officials didn't blow the whistle on that one. Diggins gets called for a double dribble out high between the circles. Tried to back his way in and then turn the other direction. And that's the fourth turnover on the Streaks now.
Yeah, Travon was just having all sorts of trouble with the dribble that time. Was doing it with both hands. And if it wasn't one call, it was going to be another. But, hey, he's got two fingers taped together. What do you want?
5:05 to go first half. Galesburg with an 11-point lead. Panthers still have not scored in the second quarter. He's played 3 minutes. Down low, there's a good feed under the basket, and then turning around, throwing it over the basket. Mitchell couldn't finish. Tyson Parks gets the rebound for Galesburg. It's a good execution there, but terrible finish. Joe Williams left corner. Three off the rim. Rebound fought for, and Mitchell comes up with it. So the Streaks, as they want to do this season, come out firing in the first quarter and then go through a cold stretch in the second quarter.
And we're getting some clean looks. Joe had a lot of time to measure that one.
Still an 11-point lead as the Panthers have not scored in the second quarter. Driving in, pull-up jumper at the high post. Rodgers can't hit. Williams gets the rebound for Galesburg. So again, a chance to build on the lead. Diggins on the outside with Williams. Back and forth they go, right to left. Now Travon will dribble toward the midcourt circle, backing it up as we approach the halfway point of quarter number two. On the right side, Meeker with it on the wing. Spins right, backs up. He's going to shoot the three. And that one's in and out. Rebound, Tyson Parks with a putback.
Attaway, Tyson. He battled for position. A lot of times, even when you work that hard, you don't catch the break. That time, though, the ball came right to him. He got the putback.
Full timeout, 4:01 to go first half, 21-8 Galesburg. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com. So we'll keep it here with 4:01 to go. 21-8 is the Galesburg lead. Good chance to remind you about Galesburg girls basketball. Breakfast with the Streaks tomorrow as the King tournament continues. 8:40 for the pregame of game number one tomorrow. Right, Jim?
Yep. They'll book in the day there, so the team will get a good rest between playing Peoria Central. Scheduled 9 o'clock start. Some at the scorers table reflected a lot of skepticism that it'll actually start then. They said Peoria Central is notorious for not getting here on time. So we'll see, but that's our goal. And then go throughout the day. Games will be played all day here, and some good girls basketball matchups. And then finally tomorrow night, Silver Streaks girls will really be put to the test with Champaign Centennial coming
in. Yep.
That'll be a 7:30 scheduled start, pregame 7:10. Again, time approximate. Could run a little bit later than that, depending on how the day goes.
4:01 to go here before halftime. 21-8 is the Galesburg lead. Streaks have a couple of baskets in 4 minutes. Panthers still looking for their first score of the second quarter. Is allowed to build Streaks to build a double-digit lead here. Coming out of the Galesburg timeout. Top of the circle, Vroman fires a three. That one is way off the mark. Rebound hard off Tyson Parks. Deflects back out to the Panthers for another crack at it. And now Grant Gibson reaches around from the backside of Tirona's. Knocks it loose. Loose ball created. And then they can't finish it off with Vroman underneath the basket. And Tyson Parks gets the rebound.
Parks, a big part of the reason they missed that. They were a little intimidated by his leaping ability inside. He altered the shot, then got the rebound. But back this way, the Streaks, another offensive foul.
I think they're going to call that one on Gibson. Nope, they're going to call Tyson Parks instead. So now this is a little bit of trouble for the Streaks. You got Ross and Parks, each with two fouls, and Ryan Carl with one. Tyson Parks leads Galesburg in rebounds with four tonight. So tough to lose him, but he sits down. With under 3.5 minutes to play, the good news for Galesburg, they're up by 13. They've led the whole way after scoring the first eight here tonight.
Smaller lineup in here now for the Streaks, but against United Township, we ought to be able to make it work. And another offensive foul, this time against the Panthers.
That was a huge jump, too, a huge leap that Deverick Rodgers made from just inside the top of the arc down the left side of the lane. That's foul number one on him, ninth turnover on the Panthers. With 3:13 to go in the first half. Carson Cheeseman back in for Galesburg with Denzel Jones, Travon Diggins, Ethan Meeker, and Grant Gibson. Gibson still looking for his second basket. Has it down low. Nearly draws a double team. Steps between them. Banks it in and gets fouled.
Well, this is one of those stretches where Grant's going to be playing with his back to the basket because with Carl and Ross and Parks all on the bench, we usually have one of those guys on the court. So Grant assumes the role of a low post guy, which he can handle very well as long as there's not a lot of hype down there, which there isn't. And he just abused him on the turnaround inside there.
So fourth point of the game for Grant Gibson. 3:01 to go in the first half. Galesburg now up 15. Second foul on Deverick Rogers. Picked up the offensive foul on the other end. Got the defensive foul on this end. Rock Island now leads Moline 32-17 at halftime. We are 3 minutes from halftime here. Galesburg up 16 as Gibson makes a free throw. 24-8 the score. Panthers still looking for their first points of the second quarter. Driving in from the left side, Vroman cut off, reverses it back. They just really look uncertain handling the ball, very rattled. Streaks are jumping all over them, really creating a lot of chaos in the half court, and they force the 10th turnover there.
Yeah, you can see why the Panthers are 3-13 at this point. They just don't have a whole lot going on the offensive end. And Streaks looking to build on this lead here before half, already up comfortably 24-8.
At Quincy, the Blue Devils lead Alleman at the half, 29-20. Top of the circle, Diggins, wide open three. Oh, in and out. Rebound fought for. Gibson comes in underneath. Williams from the backside. Vroman had better position for the rebound, so who's it going to be? They're going to get Gibson ducking in underneath, I think. Yep, that's his first. So we're going to walk it to the other end, and here's what you warned about earlier, Jim, with the fouls. Going to put UT at the line. That's the ninth team foul on Galesburg, but only their first free throw attempts of the second quarter. I've got him 0 for 5 from the field. Is that right? With 6 turnovers?
Make it 6-6.
And they missed the free throw.
Boy, they're just awful this quarter.
And Gibson gets the rebound. He's going to bring it across midcourt himself. Now down the left side of the lane, and a late whistle as Gibson collided with Ryan Meredith at the high post. They're going to call Grant for lowering the shoulder, so he gets back-to-back fouls. That's number two on him. So a bit of a scoring lull for the Streaks. They've scored only 7 points this quarter, but again, with the Panthers having not scored yet for the first 5 minutes and 41 seconds here in quarter number two, it's allowed Galesburg to build the 9-point first-quarter lead up to 16. But here's the Panthers back on offense. On the right side, Mitchell nearly throws it away into the backcourt. May has to try to save it, throws it toward the basket, and lo and behold, there's Meredith, who then lost it on the way up. Streaks knocked it loose with Ethan Meeker, and it's out of bounds. UT hangs on to it.
That was really something, that ball up for grabs, and it looked like by a miracle they were going to get their first basket, and then Meeker denies them the easy layup.
On the inbounds, tough one to Mitchell, but he manages to handle it. Now still with it on the outside. Trying to reverse dribble on Cody Vroman, working against Meeker. Reverses back. There's Trevon Dickens to bat it loose. Right into the hands of Denzel Jones. Into the front court. Streaks don't have numbers. Denzel forces it up anyway and banks it in. 26-8 Galesburg. Into the front court, May, with a minute 35 to go here in the first half. On the outside. Now handing off top of the circle to Vroman. Works his way, trying to get down the right side of the line. Takes it up strong, and a foul called on Ethan Meeker. As Ethan didn't hold his defensive position, he tried to move down the lane with him, and that's going to be the second foul on Meeker. Back to the free throw line, Cody Vroman, where he missed just a moment ago.
This is one of those games that's really kind of hard to gauge how well we're playing, because United Township is just so bad on the offensive end, and there they finally got their first point in the second quarter. But I suppose you got to say, well, our defense has been a big part of that.
Well, they've been all over him anytime they handle the ball. And second free throw missed. Good job by Joe Williams to sneak in there and get the rebound. Picks up his dribble at the top of the circle, swings it left over to Diggins. Galesburg up 17 here with a minute 10 to go in the first half. Carson Cheeseman on the outside with Diggins, Williams, Jones, and Meeker. About the smallest lineup we've seen Galesburg put on the floor this season. It's working here tonight. They've managed to build the lead with the big men and some foul trouble. Even Grant Gibson is on the bench right now. Here's Diggins driving in, scoops it up and in.
I'd like to see Trevon be more aggressive offensively. We are at our best when he's able to penetrate and score.
Because Gibson and Ross and Parks all have two fouls. Logan Davis going to get some time here late in the first half if the clock stops. With Galesburg up 19, approaching the 30-second mark. Pull-up jumper, badly missed again by Vroman. Streaks might have got a hand on that. Williams comes down with a rebound and then a reach-in foul called. We're going to walk it to the other end, and Joel will shoot a 1-1.
The Panthers don't have anybody that can finish. I mean, they've had some openings down the lane, and they get her up around the basket, and nobody can finish.
And that win that they got at Augustana when they beat Oliver, they shot, 10 of 11 in the second quarter? They built that big halftime lead and then held on for dear life down the stretch, ended up winning it by two, but they were up like 16 in the first half. This is a totally different team from that one here tonight.
That was abnormal because you look at the rest of their scores and a lot of what they've had some games where they only scored in the 20s. I mean, Simeon only had 20 points, but that's probably the top one or two teams in the state.
Actually, they won it by four. They scored 60 that night, beat Yalaman 60-56. Here tonight, they're still trying to hit double figures as we're just before halftime, and the Streaks leading by 21. And a foul called away from the ball. They're going to get Carson Cheeseman on that one. They do, as he was trying to fight through a screen. That's his first. So to the free throw line goes Lamont Mitchell.
This is one of those games where if you're here in attendance, you might find it more entertaining to watch away from the ball.
Yeah.
There's a lot of action there going on in different spots, as evidenced by all these foul calls that we're having either offensively or in the area of setting screens.
They're not even shooting free throws well tonight. 1-for-4 here in this second quarter.
Yeah, they made one. Got to double figures.
Mitchell makes a second one. 30-10, Galesburg by 20. They'll hold for the last shot with 20 seconds to go and count it. Williams across midcourt. Diggins comes out high for the pass. They clear out to the right side. Spinning in the lane, Trevon forces it up. Off the mark. Rebound knocked out of bounds as Denzel Jones had position on the baseline. UT knocked it away from him. Galesburg gets another crack at it here.
Well, Trevon made the move a little early if you're holding for the last shot, but when you're ahead by 20, it doesn't really magnify a mistake like that.
Logan Davis out. Bryce Reed in for the Silver Streaks. Joe Williams going to try to sneak into the left corner. Now he's roaming the perimeter. Carson Cheeseman directing traffic. They get it over to Reed. 5 seconds to go. Back to Cheeseman. Driving. Forces it up. Trying to draw a foul. That one's no good. Mitchell with a rebound. And that's the end of the first half. Galesburg by 20 over United Township. We'll take a look at some basketball scores at halftime, first half statistics, and a word with the Streaks coaching staff as well. Good first half for Galesburg. They lead it 30-10. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball at halftime on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
And we'll recommend you to all our family and friends.
Wasn't that nice?
I think you skipped a page.
I don't think so.
The part where they wrote, Michelle was a joy to work with.
Okay. It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. Proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Holiday visits are a good time for family discussions about how aging family members can continue living at home safely and happily. What's in the medicine cabinet, in the refrigerator, and on the floor? Have grab bars been installed? Do handrails need tightening? Do rugs have non-skid backing? Attention to small details could make a big difference in the welfare of a loved one. Look for tips about home safety and explore home health care options at homecareheadquarters.com. That's homecareheadquarters.com. At homecareheadquarters.com, you'll also find advice about how to discuss a loved one's changing needs and abilities. So please check out our home safety list and check in with aging loved ones. Make home safety a part of your holiday visit. This message is sponsored by the Illinois Home Care and Hospice Council and aired in cooperation with the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks basketball and WGIL is brought to you in part by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen. By Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business.
Oh, just a little further. Mrs. Stevens?
Hey, Phil. Got a package for me?
Nope, just a power bill.
Oh, well, what's that?
That's the power bill, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, I think it's time you call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Honestly, my back can't take much more of this.
Do everyone a favor and get a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Silver Streaks boys basketball continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better.
Halftime here at John Field Gymnasium. Galesburg Silver Streaks back in the Western Big Six Conference for the first time since mid-December. Might remember that thrilling win over Rock Island here at John Field Gymnasium. Seems like ages ago, but that's the last time we had a conference game, and the Streaks are building on it here tonight. They scored the first 8 points of the game over United Township. Panthers got within three on a couple of occasions. Silver Streaks built a 17-8 lead at the end of the first quarter, scored the first 9 points of the second quarter, and outscored the Panthers 13-2. They held UT to no shots from the field, no field goals. They got off some shots, didn't make any of them. And the only points they got was from the free throw line. So the Silver Streaks build on the lead. They're up 20 here at the half, 30-10. Our halftime scoreboard brought to you by Craddy Insurance, one office for all your insurance needs. Last time we checked, both the other games in the Western Big Six were at halftime. And as we check here, it appears that no updates to give to you there. Rock Island outscored Moline 17-6 in the first quarter. Added two more points to the lead in the second quarter and lead the Maroons 32-17. Quincy outscored Alleman 20-8 in the first quarter. The Pioneers shaved 4 points off the lead in the second quarter and trail at the half down at Baldwin Gym 29-20. Also, one other game kind of out of the area, or kind of in the area though, Geneseo over Dixon at the half 32-17. Ridgewood leads Anawan 30-29. Well, that's a look at our halftime scoreboard. Time to take a look at some halftime statistics. The team numbers brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home but not miserable when you get the bill. Jim Lee, what do the team numbers show?
Well, United Township has the biggest stat right now, or the lowest at that point, 14% from the field. Panthers were 0 of 8 in the second quarter, just 2 of 14. You're not going to win any ball games doing that. And Silver Streaks' defense has been strong, plus UT's just been really awful offensively, to be honest. Streaks are 52%, 12 out of 23 from the field, 5 of 13 in that second quarter. Rebounding edge to Galesburg as well. Right now, 16 to 13 on the rebounding totals. And United Township needs to take better care of the basketball, too, if they want to have any chance of coming back. They've got 11 turnovers, 7 of those in that second quarter. Silver Streaks have turned it over 6 times. So, yeah, you look at the stat line in that second quarter, Brad. I don't know how you could be much worse than the Panthers not making a single field goal and turning it over 7 times. The only way they scored was on a couple of free throws, and they missed more of those than they made, too.
Yeah, 2 of 5 from the free throw line in the second quarter for the Panthers, 5 of 9 for the first half, and 1 of 3 from three-point range. Silver Streaks, meanwhile, just 2 of 8 from behind the arc, but 4 of 5 at the free throw line. We'll take a break here at halftime, come back, take a look at the individual scoring numbers for both teams. Good balance scoring for Galesburg. We'll tell you that ahead of the break. And we'll talk with Streaks assistant coach Steve Cheeseman when Galesburg comes back out of the locker room. Galesburg scored the first 8 of the game. They lead by 20 at the half, 30-10 over the Panthers. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program, so the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
I've checked and rechecked, and it all comes down to the same conclusion.
Don't say it.
It's your turn to clean the coffee pot in the break room.
No!
It's Patsy from Bates Collision Center, proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
For the baseball enthusiast who appreciates the process of breaking in a genuine leather Rawlings glove. For the football fanatic that understands the importance of having an authentic Riddell helmet between you and the other guy. And for the volleyball player who will only practice with a Wilson ball because she insists it sounds different, louder, when she spikes it on her opponent. Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee has brands that true athletes insist on for a reason. Find them all under one roof at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee.
Green is in. Many of us are eco-friendly by driving hybrid cars, recycling, and even growing our own vegetables. Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg, can help put more green back in your pocket. Ask us about details of a money-saving auto home discount. If your auto and home are both insured with Rockford Mutual Insurance, you can save dollars off your premiums. Call me, Mark Craddy, at Craddy Insurance for more information today and start saving.
The official WGIL forecast, cloudy and breezy with a low of 42 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny and colder, high of 43, but temperatures falling into the 30s in the afternoon. Tomorrow night, much colder with snow likely in the evening. Becoming less likely after midnight, accumulation around 1 to 2 inches, low around 19, and Sunday, colder, decreasing clouds, high of 25. Sunday night, clear, low down around 11. Currently, it is 48 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Wear it and win the blue WGIL button. Available at participating sponsors. Details at WGIL.com.
Halftime at John Field Gymnasium. Galesburg back in the Western Big Six, leading United Township at the break 30-10. For the Panthers, they're led by Lamont Mitchell with just 4 points. Trevor May, Evans Frigetis each have two. Cody Broman and Raymond Taronis each have one. That's it. Ryan Meredith, Keegan Winskunas, Deborah Rogers, Dalton Oaks, Michael Taronis have not scored for the Panthers. Joe Williams leads Galesburg, coming off his varsity career high 14 on Tuesday night in the win over Dunlap. Williams leads Galesburg tonight with 9 in the first half. Trevon Diggins with 6. Grant Gibson got into a little bit of foul trouble in the first half. He has 5. Next up, Ethan Meeker and Ryan Carl each have 3. Tyson Parks with 2. Denzel Jones with 2. Carson Cheeseman, Logan Davis, Bryce Reed, Marcus Ross have not scored for the Silver Streaks, who lead at the half 30-10. I'm going to tell you, if you are interested, you can join the coaches after the game at Sully's tonight. Percentage of the restaurant sales will go toward the men's basketball program. That's at Sully's on North Henderson Street. So Galesburg coaches staff will be available there, and a chance to visit with them a little bit, recap the game as the case may be, or whatever else you might want to talk to them about. And they will do that after home games, home Western Big Six conference games, I should say. And that'll be tonight. That'll be next Friday. That'll be the following Friday. We've got a nice little run of home games here, not only in the conference, but overall as well. We're ready to start the second half. Jim Lee's going to summarize his interview with assistant coach Steve Cheeseman when he comes back up for the Silver Streaks. They'll put Carson Cheeseman on the floor to start quarter number 3 with Ryan Carl, Trevon Diggins, Grant Gibson, and Ethan Meeker. So the 5 who started start the second half as well. Set the UT lineup for you when they get their first offensive possession. On the left side, Diggins tries to get it into Ryan Carl and taken away by Trevor May, who started the first half. So the Streaks turn it over for the 7th time on their first possession. Then a bullet pass into the lane, and totally unexpected, Dalton Oaks wasn't ready for it. It goes high off his shoulder, and UT gives it right back. And then Oaks fouls as Galesburg gets out in transition to the other end. Jim?
Well, Steve Cheeseman said they felt like it was one of the best defensive halves that they've had of this all season. I think combination of things. Our defense was good, and as we said, United Township had some opportunities but couldn't finish. So very pleased with the defense, but as we would guess, he said, we've got to watch the fouls. He said we just had some unnecessary fouls, and he said there's no sense letting them get back in the game by putting them in a bonus too early, so they want to watch that.
Meeker inlet pass to Grant Gibson, now dumps it off to Carl. Pump fakes into the basket, gets fouled going up with it.
Of course, you know, United Township, from what we saw in the first half, is so challenged that even if you put them at the free throw line, they don't take advantage of it. So this ought to be one where, unless we have a letdown here in the second half, we ought to have a pretty comfortable margin before this one's over.
Dalton Oaks very quickly picks up 2 personal fouls here in the first 39 seconds of the second quarter. The second foul puts Ryan Carl at the free throw line where he makes the first, but not the second. Going high for the rebound, Lamont Mitchell pulls down his 6th board for United Township. Ryan Carl's 4th point of the game on that free throw. Turnaround, nice look by Ryan Meredith on the low blocks. He showed some offensive capabilities in the first game that the Streaks played up at United Township last season. And now the Streaks slow to get it inbounds, turn it over on the 5-second call. So UT's definitely picked up the defensive intensity here early in the third quarter. It's about their only chance to get back into this game.
Well, I've been by the locker room in previous years when Mark Polite has addressed the team in tough situations, and he gets his point across, so he may have done that again at the break and tried to breathe a little life into this team.
They trail by 19, but they get the ball right back on their end of the floor. Fake on the outside. Now driving into the left side, Raymond Taronis. May with it. Now back to Taronis, left wing 3. And a foul called on Ryan Carl as he comes in late. Taronis, I think, sold it. But he sold it well. The officials are going to give him three fouls as Carl came in late after the shot. And this will be Taronis' first chance to score here tonight.
Well, that basket the last time down for the Panthers, the first one they've had since early in the first quarter.
That's
they had missed 11 straight shots between then and now. And Ryan Carl out again. He hasn't had much court time in this one tonight because he's been in foul trouble.
Oh, so that basket actually went in. I didn't think it went in.
Yeah, I looked away, and then I heard a big roar from the United Township fans, and I figured that's what had to happen.
Didn't dawn on me till he missed the free throw and Grant Gibson rebounded. We were headed the other way. I thought, well, it's too early to be in the bonus. Now I understand. And then Gibson at the other end steps between a couple defenders and gets fouled, and he's going to the free throw line. Made two quick baskets here to start the second quarter. They pull within 16, and Gibson misses the first free throw.
I was on my way back up here, and, of course, my grandmother Evelyn's always sitting down there, and I said, they're bumping a lot tonight, aren't they? She said, they sure are. She said, I'm surprised Grant hasn't fouled out. They hit him first trip down the court.
17-point lead. Gibson makes the back end of the two free throws. Now he and Diggins double team in the corner, and a reach-in foul call. The tie-up will keep it on UT's end of the floor. Good defense by Galesburg with a trap on Deverick Rogers at the end of the UT bench down in that corner. And then Gibson finally reached in, tried to steal it away, got called for the tie-up. So the arrow will point the other way as soon as UT gets the ball in, and they do successfully to Keegan Winskunas on the outside. Didn't take Mark Polite long to substitute here in the third quarter. He was about 40 seconds in, and he was already sending guys in off the bench. So whatever point he was making in the third quarter, I don't think some of the guys got it. May forcing his way into the basket, missed everything, and they're going to say, the official's going to say, Galesburg got a hand on it as it went out of bounds. Now, all the way from up here, I could hear Mike Reynolds say, no!
It looked like Lamont Mitchell of UT was the last one to touch that
ball. I thought he just whiffed on the shot. Now on the inbound, wide open, and then a travel call. Raymond Taronis was wide open. All he had to do was go up for the shot. Instead, I think, about an indecision maybe, he decided to leap toward the basket instead and got called for traveling.
Yeah, that in a nutshell is your UT offense. That was awful. A wide open shot and a terrible travel.
Down the right side of the lane, Gibson going strong to the basket, and a reach-in foul call on Trevor May, who thought he got all ball under the basket. But, you know, I guess that's always the case, right? You always think, you know, when you get called for the foul, it's all ball. So Grant right back to the line where he made one of two. To UT's credit, they held Gibson to five points in the first half. Comes in averaging just under 23 a game in the first free throw up, and that one's off the front of the rim. So now the Streaks aren't taking advantage of the free throw line. They're 2 for 5 this quarter already.
Well, and this happens sometimes. You get a lead and the other team's struggling, you can lose your concentration and your focus as well, as Gibson does hit the second free throw. You know, last time we'd been in a game like this was probably the Rochester game of the holiday tournament at Taylorville. Since then, every game has been very close to the vest.
Deverick Rogers on the dribble, trying to work his way in on Trevon Diggins, and Diggins gets called for the hand check, so the official's calling this one a little bit tighter here to start off the second half. That's the second foul on Diggins.
Now, since that Rochester game, a close win over Charleston, narrow losses to Rantoul and Taylorville, then that close game at the St. Anthony shootout against Chicago Perspectives that they won basically at the buzzer.
And then a tight game with Dunlap for a while before Galesburg was finally able to open it up with about 3 minutes to go in the game. Here's a high lob on the inbound. Mitchell skies for it, gets a hand on it, and basically tips it in. Gibson leading the break to the other end, an offensive foul called as Keegan Winskunas waiting there, draws the charge, and a very animated reaction by him sitting underneath the basket as he was fired up to draw that foul on Gibson, and that is the third turnover already on the Streaks here in the third quarter.
Yeah, Gibson, I'm assuming, he'll head to the bench with two quick fouls there.
5:45 to go. We're still just underway in this third quarter, and UT trying to creep back into this one, still down 16, but with the ball and a three-pointer on the way, and good, as Winskunas, who draws the charge, has the same reaction after knocking down the three, and they have just doubled their first half total and nearly steal it away on the inbounds. At 10 points in the first half, they have 10 points in the first 2.5 minutes of the second half, and Mike Reynolds is upset. And he directs his frustration at the official first, but I think the team's going to get it here on a 30-second timeout.
Yep, it's happened so often when you get a big lead and you just don't play quite as hard. Plus, United Township, they're making some shots that they just didn't make in the first half. So it's a 13-point lead. You're still fairly comfortable, but you don't want it to get much closer than that. We mentioned earlier in the season, they did the same thing to Quincy when they were down 28-3, came back in the second half and made it interesting. So they make it hard on themselves getting behind so much early. I'm sure Mike Reynolds doesn't want to hear any of what they can do offensively. He wants to know what the Silver Streaks can do to stem the tide here.
Quincy ended up winning that game by 15, 58-43. It was 28-3. Was it at the end of the first quarter, was it? It was some point in the second quarter, I think.
I believe that's right, early second quarter.
Panthers put on the full court press. They keep on the full court press. Tough pass by Cheeseman, but Williams gets to it. Gets it over to Carson across midcourt. Now Diggins with it on the right wing. They're going to let him shoot. I didn't see Trevon light it up from behind the arc down at Taylorville. He can knock it down. Here's Joe driving in from the left side. Too strong on the right-hand shot. Rebound fought for. UT comes out with it. Mitchell leading the break after his seventh rebound. And then lost it at half court. Streaks came away from the backside and picked it away. Into the front court. Diggins fakes left. Drives light. Cut off on the low block. Skips it out from the baseline out to Cheeseman. Now on the right side, Marcus Ross. Where's the offense going to come from? As a reach in by Rogers knocks it out of the hands of Ross and out of bounds. I say, where's the offense going to come from? Because you got Gibson out right now. You got Joe Williams on the floor. You got Ethan Meeker on the floor, but Ethan's only got one shot down tonight, his first one of the game. Here's Diggins down the lane with a floater with a one hand. That won't go off the glass. And Mitchell with a rebound. Chance for the Panthers to pull back a little bit closer, down 13 with 4:40 to go in the third quarter.
You know, we may not get a field goal in the third quarter, as sloppy as we've been offensively. UT didn't have one in the second quarter, and we're very challenged down there right now.
On the outside, Evan Spurgettis on the dribble, trying to work around the screen, finds an opening in the lane, down low to Mitchell, who just dribbled it right underneath his shoulder. It went up high, and there was Carson Cheeseman to take it away.
Panthers just give away so many possessions, unforced turnovers.
Back on the outside, Cheeseman. Left side, Ethan Meeker. Halfway through the third quarter now. Here's Meeker all the way down the lane, and a blocking foul called as his shot won't go down. And a very emphatic blocking call. The official signaled that one, about six different times, right?
Mm-hmm.
As Keegan Wenskunas, who drew the charge that got Grant Gibson out of the game with his third foul, tried to draw another one, and he was had a very passionate reaction when he realized he got called for the defensive foul, and Meeker misses the free throw.
Boy, we're just awful in this quarter offensively.
3 for 7 from the free throw line. Those are the only points Galesburg have. In fact, I only have them for one shot.
I got him for two misses. You know, East Molina, it's almost like they just open up the lane and dare you to come down there and then stand there and try and draw the charge. I don't know if that's a really good defense or not, but it's worked for him at least for the first few minutes of the second half.
Boy, Meeker missed them both. May with a rebound, leading break to the other court, and Rogers high off the glass, banks it in, and here's UT down to 11 now, 33-22. On the dribble on the outside, Williams. Top of the circle, Carson Cheeseman. Very active defense as the Panthers continue to play very aggressively here in the half court. They picked up 5 team fouls, but they're back into the game now, down 11. Williams on the dribble out high. Hands off to Meeker. Streaks trying to find some openings on the inside. Here's Cheeseman with it at half court. Working his way left. Gets it off to Diggins on the outside. Like to see Trevon get some penetration going here. Although he's got to be careful, he's playing with a couple of fouls. Williams on the outside. There goes Diggins cutting to the lane. They keep the pass on the perimeter. Here's Meeker pulling in. Pulls up from 14 feet. That one is short. Rebound. Williams comes over from the weak side to take it away in the lane. Gets it over to Diggins on the right side, and he'll back it out again. Now on the right side, Ross trying to drive. Baseline gets it into the corner for Meeker. Three-pointer short. And the rebound by May again for the Panthers. Here they come with a chance to get it down to single digits with a deficit. 2:48 to go. Pull-up jumper just inside the arc, and the shot rattles around, falls off. May under the basket gets the rebound, and a timeout called by Mark Polite.
May, 5'7", took that ball away from 3 Silver Streaks. UT is outplaying Galesburg this quarter.
And this will be just a 30-second timeout with 2:41 to go in the third quarter. They have outscored the Streaks 12-3, and they have the ball coming off the offensive rebound.
Well, the Silver Streaks, I really would have liked to seen us show a little something offensively with Grant Gibson on the bench, because those times are going to happen, and you need to have somebody step up and contribute offensively. And We were trying to get Ethan Meeker set up, but outside of that opening shot in the game, he hasn't had anything to speak of offensively tonight. UT, they know they can pick their poison because Carson Cheeseman really isn't a guy that even wants to shoot the ball at all. And Marcus Ross, when he was out there, more of a defender than an offensive player. So we talked about how offensively challenged United Township was, and we looked just as challenged in this third quarter.
And Diggins typically won't shoot from the outside unless he's wide open. Now Gibson back into the game, and he and Tyson Parks helped create a turnover on the Panthers. 16th of the game on UT, down low. Parks gets blocked on the way up. They're going to call a push foul on UT. The Panthers thought they had a clean block and a tie-up on the way up, or maybe even a travel with Parks going up for it and coming back down, but instead Tyson's going to get two free throws here.
Maybe we'll see a surge by the Streaks. Mike Reynolds inserting Parks. He put Gibson back in the game and brought Denzel Jones in. And thinking maybe this group on the floor right now brings some energy and maybe we can get back into it. But, I mean, we're in it, but the third quarter we've been bad. Parks misses another free throw.
3 for 9 from the free throw line in this third quarter. Talk about a chance to maintain a healthy lead, and he missed both free throws. And there's Lamont Mitchell with his 9th rebound for UT. And a foul on Galesburg on the floor now in the half court as UT brings it up court.
And they talked about
that on Denzel, I think.
Rebounding being effort. We're getting out-rebounded 7-1 in this quarter.
Jeez.
Outshot 4 field goals to none.
On the inbounds out high to Mitchell. Again, a chance for UT to get the deficit under double digits. Down 11, 33-22, 2:15 to go third quarter. Still a long way to go in this. Here's a jumper just inside the free throw line and the shot down by Deverick Rogers. And they do get it down to a 9-point lead. 33-24, the ball gets away to the end of the UT bench. And the Panthers are going to keep the full court pressure on here as they have outscored Galesburg 14-3 in the third quarter. To now trail by 9. A lob on the inbound over the head of Gibson. Down court to Parks, cutting into the basket. And he gets bumped, slips, falls down, and called for traveling.
Tyson, a lot of energy, but saw an opening, got a little too excited, and didn't know how to finish.
10 turnovers on the Streaks. They got it for 4 this quarter, right, Jim?
Yep.
All right. On the outside, May. Chance for the Panthers to get down to 7 or 6 here. With 1:50 to go third quarter. Left side, Mitchell for 3. That one's off the back of the rim. The weak side rebound. UT comes up with it. Rogers skips it back out. Here's the jumper by Meredith. It's down to a 7-point lead at 33-26. Mike Reynolds calls full timeout.
The crowd
would not want to be in this huddle.
You know, the crowd is completely out of the game. The team not bringing a lot of energy, and Mike Reynolds was just down on one knee. It looked to me like he'd almost run out of answers there, but they better find something. Full timeout.
33-26, Galesburg by 7. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Each year, filled with holiday spirit, Ed goes down to his basement, unpacks the electric snowman, and carries him outside for all to enjoy. And each year, just like that, Ed's holiday spirit disappears. Fortunately, Ed's spirit can be revived by indulging in McCafé's rich peppermint mocha and peppermint hot chocolate.
Love the holidays.
Peppermint mocha, peppermint hot chocolate. Now at McDonald's, only for a while. The simple joy of a happy holiday. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
A more in-depth look at the day's local news and happenings. The WGIL Evening News. Weeknights at 5 on Galesburg Radio 14. WGIL.
1:40 to go here at John Field Gymnasium in the third quarter, 33-26, the Galesburg 7-point lead. On the inbounds pass, Streaks break the full court press again. Jones coming in from the left side, good 3-on-1 ball movement, and Denzel Jones finishes it off. Streaks needed that one. 35-26, let's see if they can put together a little run here. That's their first basket of the second half. With under 1:40 to go, finally. The only other points they had was 3 free throws, and they missed 6 from the free throw line otherwise. On the outside, Rogers working in on Rogers, or Williams rather, and finally called for the travel. Rogers was just all over the place. He was all arms and legs and reaching and a lot of movement going on in there and finally just lost control of it. Lob up to Grant Gibson. Streaks again, breaking down court. Gibson inside the free throw line. He's going to take it himself with the basket and a foul.
Well, you wonder if it's coincidence or whether Mike Reynolds did have the right words to say in that timeout, because we have gotten down quickly against the UT press twice and capitalized.
And that's a seventh foul on the Panthers now, so the Streaks will shoot free throws. Not that that's been a bonus here in this game so far tonight, but they are in the bonus for the rest of the way. Gibson's free throw pops in and out.
Look at Tyson.
Tyson Parks comes over for the rebound and the putback. And a tie-up call, a held ball. Galesburg will hang on to it with the arrow.
Only the second rebound in this quarter for the Silver Streaks.
Wow.
And Parks really put the effort on there, going between two guys to get that ball.
I might mention it's the second rebound after the Streaks' 10th miss from the free throw line. 3 of 10, their seventh miss. Now they turn it over in the half court to go along with 5 turnovers this quarter after 6 the entire first half. 37-26 Galesburg, under a minute to go. Rock Island opened it up on Moline in the third quarter. They outscored the Maroons 27-13, and they now lead 59-30. Lob on the back door. Mitchell goes up high for it, gets it back out. Here's the fake on the right side. Roman steps in the lane. Now they get it over to Raymond Taronis. Out high, hands it off to Spurgettis. Spinning inside the lane, wide open right corner three, and that one's good by Wenskunas. He's lit the fire for the Panthers here in the second half. And he pulls UT back within 8. Full court pressure in. Again, they lob it over to Gibson. Fourth time they've done that. Grant nearly lost it from the backside. Now he does lose it at the free throw line. Turnover back to the Panthers. Leading the break. Here's Wenskunas, opposite corner. That one's off the back of the rim. Jones with a rebound with 12 seconds to go. Denzel into the front court. Let's see if the Streaks can get off a successful last shot. Denzel all the way down the lane with 4 seconds to go. Ball knocked out of bounds on the rebound. And Galesburg will inbound it with 3.7 seconds to go.
If Wenskunas would have hit that 3 from the near corner, that small but loud UT contingent would have just gone bananas.
And rightfully so. 3.7 seconds to go. Carl back into the game, joining Williams, Meeker, Diggins, and Gibson. Grant's going to pull the trigger from the right of his own basket. Looking, looking, and then a terrible pass on the inbound, stolen away by Mitchell. Down to half second to go. The heave by May off the front of the rim. Galesburg lucky to be up 8 at the end of third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Hey, Jim, how's it going this morning?
Not good. I can't get this digital recorder to play back. Grrr, sports!
Hey, here, put this on.
The WGIL button.
Yeah, you're not yourself without the button. Better?
Better.
Wear a button, win some cash. Pick up your WGIL button at Liberty Tax Service on North Henderson or at Carmark Tire and Auto in the Sandberg Mall, all in Galesburg. Details at WGIL.com.
Live coverage of GHS basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, and by Chuck Ross of Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision.
Shh. You did not just...
Look at that dish. Seared squab with foie gras.
And that thing that just raced by with my appetite.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision...
Foie gras.
...out of collision.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Well, let's see if United Township can keep it up here in the fourth quarter as well. Nice little rally by the Panthers. They outscore Galesburg 19-7 in the third quarter. And they've cut the Galesburg deficit down to 8. And they have the ball to begin quarter number 4. And here's a ball deflected that the Streaks come away with a turnover. Grant Gibson gets tied up on the reach-in by Trevor May. And the held ball will keep it on Galesburg's possession.
Well, hoping the Silver Streaks can answer United Township's energy in that third quarter and take this away here at home. Still up by 8, as you said, fortunate to be that way, only because United Township continues to turn it over at a rapid rate, but otherwise they dominated us in every fashion in that third quarter.
Sure did. Carl back into the game, swings the ball down low with the elbows, and the official, or the UT players, wanted an offensive foul call. Joe Williams drives in from the left side, gets blocked, somehow gets the ball back. Now Gibson down the lane, up with the right hand, and somehow gets that ball to roll through. Only Galesburg's third basket of the second half.
That had to be the worst quarter of basketball we've had the entire season. But if you're going to do it, I guess do it with a 20-point lead.
Three-pointer rolls off by Wenskunas. There's Carl under the basket for the Silver Streaks with the rebound. Leading the break, Diggins at the other end. There's Wenskunas trying to draw the foul, but then he went up as Diggins tried to sidestep him a little bit. Wenskunas was there ready to draw the charge again. But
Trevon wisely sidestepped to the left, and that went, forced Winskunas up into the air where he picked up his third foul. Silver Streaks were awful from the free throw line in the third quarter. So Diggins to the line here with two shots, and he missed that one. 3 for 11 now in the second half.
And on your home court.
Yeah.
It doesn't resemble the team that beat Rock Island here last month.
And he missed that one off the front of the rim. Never even got that one over. So still a 10-point lead, and Vroman rebounds for UT. He's going to shoot a wide-open three, and it's off the back of the rim. Weak side rebound knocked out of the hands of Rogers. Dribbles it on the floor and then calls timeout in the double team.
We got fortunate there. Defensively, we had a mix-up, lost our man. He was wide open for the three but missed it.
And this will be a 30-second timeout called by the Panthers. They have three full timeouts remaining. Gelsberg has two timeouts remaining.
Well, he had to burn several in there when UT was making their third quarter charge. So still a 10-point lead. If you'd have told me when this game started with 6:55 to go, you'll be up 39-29, I'd have probably said, yeah, okay, I can handle that. But the way this has gone, you get a real uneasy feeling about our ability to focus when we have a lead. I mean, I love getting a big lead, but you got to wonder where their heads were at in the third quarter, because it surely was not the same team that we saw in the first half.
As bad as UT was in the second quarter, the Streaks almost matched them in the third quarter, scoring only 7 points. UT had only 2 points in the second quarter. Those came on a couple of free throws. Galesburg's been awful from the free throw line here in the second half. And haven't had a whole lot to shout about otherwise either. UT coming out of the timeout. Down by 10 with the ball, approaching the 6.5-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Here's a wide open three by Mitchell. Oh, he banked it in from the left side.
I didn't know he had enough angle to catch the glass. Now we get it to the other way.
At the other end, Diggins with a layup as the Streaks get out with it. And that seems to be their best offense here. That's where all their points have come from here in the last minute and a half of the third quarter, and the first minute 45 of the fourth quarter is in transition, getting the pass up court quickly. Don't allow UT to set up that half-court defense. Here's a three on the right side by Vroman. A little bit long, and the rebound and a foul called as Ryan Carl comes up reaching over the back of Mitchell, who skied for his 10th rebound in the game. And he's going to get a 1-1 here. No, I'm sorry. That's only the 15th foul on Galesburg.
Well, for as good as Ryan Carl had it in that game against Perspectives last Saturday, he did a lot of things well offensively and defensively, but he just hasn't been able to get much going here tonight and, of course, has had foul trouble.
And UT, which got back into the game by getting the ball inside successfully and outside, they shot nothing but three-point attempts here in the fourth quarter. They're 1-for-4. Trailing by 9, a three-pointer here would get him down within 6. A lob on the inbound. Mitchell goes up high for it, gets it away from Grant Gibson. On the outside, Meredith steps inside the arc, Roman with it. Now right side, it goes over to Mitchell. Trying to drive on Gibson. Got a step on him. Saves it down underneath the baseline to Meredith. Now Mitchell coming in from out of bounds. Has it in the near corner below us. To the outside, Rogers. Skips it right side over to Vroman. Trying to drive in on Ethan Meeker from the right wing. Reverses directions in the paint. Throws it down under the baseline to Meredith. Gives it right back to May. Quickly banks it up and in. Good ball movement by UT. They got a good look at it. Down 7 now. 41-34. 5.5 to go. Meeker leads the break. Down to Diggins, who lays it up, circles around, and drops through. Palindrome score, 43-34, 5:25 to go. Driving the other end, Rogers with a left hand. That one circles in and out, and there's Mitchell again going up for the rebound. Caught under the basket, saves it out to Vroman on the left wing. Drives inside, high post shot, swish. 43-36, back and forth game now. Galesburg's lead back to 7. On the inbounds, Ryan Carl. They'll surround him quickly on the near sideline. Dribbles out of it to Joe Williams. Down the right side of the lane. Circle it up,
Joe.
And in.
3-on-2. United Township putting so much pressure up front. They're giving back 2-on-1s and 3-on-2s, and we've got to push it. We did there with Joe.
Two teams trading blows here with under 5 minutes to go in the game. On the left side, Mitchell. Brings it back out. Works around Joe Williams. Skips it over to Cody Vroman on the outside. Now on the right wing, Ryan Meredith. Dribbles it once, gets it off to Vroman. UT going to slow it down here a little bit. Look for some patience. Tried to get it into Meredith on the wing. Now out to the outside. May hits a three. 5 points in the quarter for Trevor May. 45-39. UT back within 6. And a bad pass at midcourt. And a foul called.
Could have easily called a technical there as Trevor May slammed the ball to the floor when he heard the foul call. You don't get away with that very often.
Grant Gibson got leveled to the deck. You know, the way the trailing official came in, I guess he was pointing to the spot on the floor. I wasn't so sure he wasn't pointing to Gibson, calling him for the foul. I wanted to be sure he was actually saying that was the spot of the foul as UT went for the steal. That would have been one of the toughest fouls you'd ever taken if they call that one on Grant. But instead it goes on May. That's his third, and Grant will shoot a 1-1 here.
The Panthers have played so hard here in the second half. I keep thinking they're going to be a little too gassed to continue, but I would like to bottle the lightning that Mark Polite had there in the locker room at halftime, because they're a different team.
Streaks make a free throw by Gibson. He was 2 of 5 for the third quarter at the free throw line. That's uncharacteristic of Grant. He has 12 points tonight. 46-39, second free throw good. So when crunch time is on, Grant knocks down a couple of big ones. Still a good ways to go. 8-point lead, 4:20 to play. And then dribbling it out of bounds right along the sideline, Evan Spurgettis. Joe Williams, give him credit. He reached in there, bothered Spurgettis, and then he got a hand on it and knocked it out of bounds, or rather Spurgettis did, as he got rattled by Williams right on top of him. Tried to sell it to the official saying Williams knocked it out, but clearly he just lost the handle on the dribble. 19 turnovers on UT. On the outside, Marcus Ross gives it off to Williams. Now onto the outside, Grant Gibson. Trevon Diggins with it on the left wing, trying to find an opening, gets it out to Ross. Good pass underneath, Gibson up and in.
Heck of a job, nice job, Marcus Ross. Faked the shot and dropped it down to Eric. An excellent assist from Marcus.
49-39, Galesburg back on top by 10. On the right side, cut off, driving baseline. UT skips it back out. Ryan Meredith looks like he dragged his pivot foot at the free throw line. Skips it out into the right corner on the pump fake. Roman's baseline shot is good. 49-41, UT hanging in there down 8. On the inbounds against the UT press, here's Meeker across midcourt. Dribbled off his foot, but right there, Trevon Diggins to pick it up. Under 3.5 minutes to play. Diggins gets bumped, falls down into the backcourt. Streaks turn it over.
Yeah, once he picked up that ball that had just dribbled over his way, United Township collapsed on him, and he was in that corner, and he couldn't dribble too far to his left, or he'd have got to the half-court line and crossed in and then slipped and fell, and he was doomed at that point.
The final from Quincy, where the Blue Devils beat Alleman 58-40, so Quincy now 4-0 in the Western Big Six. Rock Island leading by about 30 in the fourth quarter at Moline, so the Streaks are in a fight to stay in second place here. Tip on the inlet pass and knocked away. Joe Williams comes up with a steal on the loose ball. 20th turnover on the Panthers. Galesburg up 8 with the ball. 3 minutes to play. Left side reversal. Ethan Meeker had an open 3, but he passed it up. Streaks winner will look for a better percentage shot, probably from Gibson, I'll bet. Diggins on the right side. Trying to sell it like he's going to shoot for 3, then held up with the ball. UT knocked away. Reached in, poked it loose. Left side 3. Vroman again rattles it through. Vroman with 7 in the quarter. 49-44, UT within 5. Gibson into the front court on the dribble. Runs into a couple of defenders, knocked down and a foul called. And Grant's going to shoot 2 here as UT's put Galesburg in the double bonus the rest of the way.
And Grant probably fortunate that time. Don't tell him that. His right knee probably doesn't feel very fortunate as he went down hard. But he was 1-on-3 and was trying to force it. And I appreciate that he's trying to carry the team right now, but they bailed him out, I think, a little bit with the foul. He could have gotten that stolen from behind.
Right back to the free throw line. First one up and in.
Isn't it amazing? United Township, as awful as they were in the first half, let's see, 7 of 11 third quarter, 6 of 10 here in the fourth. They are on fire.
Second free throw by Gibson is good as well. And the Silver Streaks here with 3 of 13 from the free throw line have now made 4 in a row thanks to Grant Gibson. 7-point Galesburg lead. Slipping and falling, Trey beat his man on the outside. May rather beat his man on the outside. He slipped and fell. Trevon Diggins comes up looking a little gimpy. He comes across midcourt and Mike Reynolds calls timeout as Trevon can't get to the bench fast enough. He's really favoring that left ankle, it looks like.
Or a hamstring. I'm not sure which it is, but whatever the case, there is a timeout on the court. Just a 30-second. You know, what's interesting, aside from this game, I'm watching United Township, in particular, Lamont Mitchell. He's a sophomore. A lot of potential there. This kid's
yep.
A terrific athlete.
Got him for 11 rebounds tonight.
And as he continues to develop, it's interesting because the senior classes and the upperclassmen really are just not that strong in most of the cases we've looked this year. But we're seeing so many teams with freshmen and especially sophomores that are not only getting a lot of time, but are the best players on their teams. I mean, you look at the Silver Streaks, our three biggest offensive weapons are two sophomores and a freshman.
Yeah.
and Gibson and Joe Williams and Ethan Meeker. So it bids well for the future, but it sure bears out how really weak the junior and senior classes are for the most part of so many schools here that we're seeing this year.
Gibson down the left side, gets it over into the left corner to Ethan Meeker coming out of the timeout. Trevon Diggins is out of the game right now. Meeker on the low blocks, gets up a shot, a little bit off the mark. Marcus Ross getting a hand on the rebound. Into a double team comes UT, and they do finally win the battle. Now they have numbers as the Streaks are doing all kinds of chasing. They get back defensively. Good job by Williams reading the pass from the weak side. He got in, got a hand on it, knocked it out of bounds, and UT will hang on to it.
Yeah, Joe covered a lot of territory there, and with the outstretched long arms, able to poke that away. I was a little concerned he and Gibson were going to collide going for that ball. That's the last thing we need. We're just truly trying to hold on to this one at this point.
Leading by 7, a minute 56 to go. UT with the ball, though. They have gotten within 5 after trailing by 21 in the first half. Diggins is back into the game. That's good to see. May on the dribble, spinning underneath the basket. Gets it to Mitchell. Lost a handle on it. Good defense by Joe Williams. Creates another turnover. And now Gibson loses it on the dribble. Mitchell picks it up. Goes up for the two-handed dunk.
The sophomore we were talking about.
After the streak, 16th turnover. UT down 5. Williams. Ross, baseline, skips it back out to Diggins, under a minute and a half to go, and the Streaks want to spread it out here.
Surprised Joe that he had the open pass to the basket, didn't take it, and it cost us, we just turned it over.
And the Streaks tried that little handoff play on the outside, and the official right there saying it went off the Panthers' hip.
Huh.
I think they say it went off Keegan Wenskunas' hip. As the Streaks, we've seen a number of times they try that little handoff play on the wing near the sideline, and the defense gets in there and causes trouble, and that's what happened there again, and now we've got whistles by the officials.
Yeah, we had trouble with that a number of times at the holiday tournament at Taylorville. We were down there courtside, and you could just almost see it coming, and the other teams would sense that and stick a hand in there and force the turnover.
Cheeseman on the inbound to Joe Williams. Tough pass on the inbound sideline. Now Joe scoops it back behind him to Carson Cheeseman. Gets it over to Grant Gibson. Left side pass to Williams. Streaks want to play some keep away here. UT in the double bonus, wanting to go for the steal, and now Trevor May fouls Grant Gibson near half court. Gibson reached the ball up high. May jumped like he wanted to try to reach it out of Gibson's outstretched arms, and he picked up his fourth foul instead, so Gibson goes to the free throw line. He's got 8 points in the quarter, 17 for the game, and he's slowly getting up to that 23-point average.
I thought Mike Reynolds had left the building there for a minute. He went down, got a drink, went clear down the tunnel towards the locker room, and reappears here.
The man has some energy that he needs to work off during the games, especially when things get tight.
Oh, now, bad
Gibson
foul.
Misses a second free throw, and he reaches in and fouls Wenskunas. Yeah. It is only the 16th foul on Galesburg.
Thank goodness.
But the fourth foul on Grant Gibson. Minute 4 to go and a 6-point Galesburg lead.
Yeah, that's one of those you just look at the scoreboard and you think that's you just got to get back and play defense there.
Rock Island beats Moline 71-41, and another foul out high. Now UT will shoot a 1-1, third foul of the game on Marcus Ross.
The seconds can't tick off fast enough in this one. I would have never dreamed at halftime we'd be in this predicament of just trying to hang on to a thin life support down the stretch here.
Here's the good news. Trevor May is only 10 of 26 from the free throw line this season.
And the way they played this half, he'll probably hit them both.
Well under 50%, and he does make the first one, and it's a 1-1 bonus. He's got 6 points in the quarter, 8 for the game. And now he could pull UT as close as they have been since they were down 8-5 in the first quarter. It's 52-47. 59 and a half seconds to play. Second free throw short. Gets over the front of the rim and drops through. 52-48, Galesburg by 4. Their 21-point lead is ancient history now with a minute to go in the game. As Jim said, Streaks was trying to hang on here. We saw some teams blow some 5- and 6-point leads in the final minute of the game down at the Taylorville Holiday Tournament, so don't think it couldn't happen.
No, it doesn't take long. A possession or two and a missed free throw. And
on the inbounds, that out on Joe Williams. Oh, the officials, boy, I don't know. I think that's a fortunate call. Joe Williams came in from the backside,
toward the baseline to get the inbounds pass, guarded from the backside by Mitchell, and they actually called a foul on Mitchell. And Mark Polite.
Yeah, he's beside himself.
Yeah, he really is. And he definitely feels like he is not getting any calls. I think he definitely feels like, well, he's right. His team has outplayed Galesburg here in the second half, and a number of calls have gone Galesburg's way, but Williams misses the free throw, so the tough shooting continues from the free throw line for Galesburg. Maybe UT's best strategy here.
Well, and here comes their little spark plug back in the game. 21, Keegan Laskunas.
8 for 20 in the second half for Galesburg at the free throw line. Now 9 of 21 as Williams makes a second. 5-point lead. UT with the ball, 50 seconds to play. May pulls up at the free throw line and scores.
They can do no wrong right now. They've hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shots in a row. 7 of 8. 8 of 10. It's a 3-point game. And if we lose this, Brad, I told you off air, I'm not talking to Mike Reynolds after this one.
UT calls timeout, full timeout, just under 50 seconds to play. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
There's a three-bedroom ranch on Sycamore Bend in Galesburg that would be perfect for your family. Log on to galesburg.info, keyword FISBO, and check out pictures of the beautiful eat-in kitchen, huge family room, and spacious fenced-in yard with above-ground pool. Another great house that's for sale by owner in Galesburg.
Your news talk and sports station, WGIL.
49.6 seconds to play in the fourth quarter. UT has rallied from a 21-point first-half deficit to within three here, 53-50. They have dominated Galesburg here in the second half, outscoring the Streaks 40-23. And they keep the full court pressure on. They do not inbound Carson Cheeseman on the inbounds, and a quick foul from the backside. Don't think they haven't scouted Galesburg. They're putting Trevon Diggins at the line, who's 50% on the season. Actually, he's under 50% now. He's 0 for 3 in this game, 24 for 51. And the Silver Streaks only, 9 of 21 from the free throw line here in this second half.
Well, tonight, I don't know who I would want at the line, because even our good free throw shooters have struggled.
And he missed it. But if they're in the double bonus, so Trevon gets two, and he needs one here. It's a three-point game. It's a one-possession game. Diggins needs to make one. He has 10 points, 0 for 4 from the line. Second one, eyes it, puts it up, and he can't get the friendly roll. Mitchell with a rebound for UT. Chance for the Panthers to tie it down the lane. May, strong shot off the glass, but it won't go down. Grant Gibson with a rebound. And now they foul Joe Williams quickly, and that's number four on Keegan Winskunas. Stops the clock with 36.5 seconds to play. May got a good look at it. He's got 9 points in the quarter. 11 for the game.
Down three, they weren't thinking maybe the three ball, but I guess they figured there's several possessions left in the game, so take whatever you can get at that point.
And put Galesburg at the foul line. Joe Williams is 4 for 5 tonight and makes the first one there. Kind of a Bronx cheer from the Galesburg crowd as he makes a free throw.
Well, no matter if, even if Galesburg holds on to win, which obviously we want to do, but you got to think UT will think, yeah, wait till we play you next time.
55-50, Williams makes both. Big 5-point lead for Galesburg, 30 seconds to go. May, now a long three by Deverick Rogers. That one is off the mark. Diggins comes up with a rebound, falls down, and called for traveling.
Gave him a break there. That was a really ill-advised shot. UT didn't need to throw one up from halfway to half court, but they got a break, got the ball back.
Sure did. So still down five on the inbounds, 26 seconds to go. And Mitchell in a tough spot right at half court. And now a timeout called by Mark Polite. As they didn't realize anybody wasn't there, so they had to chase the ball down on the inbound. Got it right at half court. Streaks covered him up quickly. And Coach Mark Polite called the timeout. Both teams with one timeout remaining. 10 team fouls on UT. So the Streaks are in the super bonus with 23.2 seconds to play. 7 team fouls on Galesburg. But regardless, they don't want to foul, period. UT's down two possessions. Do not want to put them at the foul line and give them a chance to get it down to a one-possession game with a clock stop.
You know, and after this is over, people might say, well, what's the real line on this? Was the first half more representative of what these teams are, or is the second half Well, and as usually is the case, is somewhere in between. I still think we're the better basketball team. United Township, you got to give them kudos for their effort here to come back, but they are playing way over their head in this. They haven't shot the ball like this all season. I mean, look at their point totals.
Well, the second quarter against Alleman that we talked about earlier.
Okay, yeah, they caught a fire there, but for the most part, this is just not a good United Township team, but they're playing with a lot of heart, and it's a lot about confidence. Once they got the spring in their step and felt like they could make shots here, good things have happened to them.
Tough pass on the inbound. Almost went off Trevor May's knee. Now Joe Williams got to be careful guarding him in the backcourt. Brings it across into the front court. 16 seconds to go. Time may run out on him. Here's a step-back jumper by Rogers. A three goes in and out. And the rebound by Joe Williams. Just hang on to the ball, Joe, and he's fouled by Rogers. Boy, that was a tough break for Deverick Rogers. He almost got it down. And it just circled in and out. And now with 7.3 seconds to play, the Galesburg crowd breathes kind of a sigh of relief and feels comfortable enough to applaud. Williams to the line, can't make the free throw. But 7.3 seconds to go and a 5-point lead. Galesburg has four players back to defend. Second free throw by Williams is good. On the inbound into the court, May across midcourt, gets it over to Rogers. He'll fire a three with 3 seconds. That one is good, and UT calls really an unnecessary timeout with 0.2 seconds left.
Had to try something there. So it's a one-possession game, but if they could steal the inbound and somehow miraculously bat it up in the air and have it go in the basket, which the way this second half has gone, I wouldn't put past them.
But they have to bat it up from behind the three-point arc. So the streaks, if they're wise, they would just inbound right underneath the basket. I wouldn't even get it outside of three-point range. I would just try to get it inbound right underneath the basket somewhere.
Yeah, as soon as it touches somebody's fingertips, the game is over.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've seen how long 1.7 seconds could be this year.
That was Tuesday night
in the sophomore game. And in fact, Eric Gibson and I saw something like that up at the girls' game last night, too. I think it was a second and a half, and if they don't start the clock right away, it's amazing what can happen. But this is 0.2 seconds, so this isn't even the blink of an eye.
So the inbounds will come from Carson Cheeseman with Williams, Meeker, Diggins. Diggins is still hopping a little bit, and wisely Carson Cheeseman just throws it off the back of Deverick Rogers because he knew, just made contact, and I'm sure that was probably what Mike Reynolds was saying to him in the timeout.
I'd have probably missed the guy and thrown it out of bounds.
So that's the end of the game.
Carson may have got the crunch time player of the game for that.
56-53, post-game show coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks boys basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Craddy Insurance, one office for all your insurance needs. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By McDonald's, I'm loving it. OSF St. Mary Medical Center, altogether better. Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. Galesburg's radio station for news, talk, and Silver Streaks basketball. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
My mother's advice? Write thank you notes. It's the right thing to do, Billy. My latest as follows. Dear McDonald's, thank you for the dollar menu. Thank you for years of delightful tastes like the McDouble, the McChicken, sweet tea, and more. Each just a dollar. Best regards, Billy. And I dot the I with this kind of roundish heart. It's a nice touch, I think.
Every day, as always, there's a lot to love for a little on McDonald's dollar menu at participating McDonald's.
Just finished your book? Now you need to call your daughter to take you to the library. Ran out of a few necessities? Well, maybe your son can take you to the store after he gets off work. Your buddy invited you and some of your guys over to watch the game. Now let's see, who haven't you bugged for a ride lately?
When you call Handy Van, we'll take you anywhere within the Galesburg city limits and you won't be bugging us at all. If a temporary or permanent disability prevents you from using the city bus or operating a vehicle, allow us to take you. Handy Van, helping you live independently.
Life is busy and quality times come in fleeting moments, only to be interrupted by basketball games, dance lessons, errands, and deadlines. Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, has a genuine desire to find the right insurance coverages for your family. I'm Mark Craddy. I'll take time to find affordable home and auto insurance plans for you from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For a quote, call us or stop by our office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
If you're the type of person that knows that the pound key on your keyboard is called an octotroph, put that knowledge to work for some cash at the annual United Way Trivia Night this Saturday night at the Casey Hall in Galesburg. Doors open at 5, the trivia starts at 6. You're going to have a lot of fun and help out the United Way of Knox County. So if you know there are 336 dimples on a regulation golf ball, good for you. Now put your money where your brain is at the United Way Trivia Night this Saturday night. Get all the details now at unitedway-knoxcounty.org.
The official WGIL forecast, cloudy and breezy with a low of 42 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny and colder, high of 43, but temperatures falling into the 30s in the afternoon. Tomorrow night, much colder with snow likely in the evening. Becoming less likely after midnight, accumulation around 1 to 2 inches. Low around 19, and Sunday colder, decreasing clouds, high of 25. Sunday night clear, low down around 11. Currently, it is 48 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
With final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Mike Reynolds, WGIL's coverage of GHS boys basketball continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Maybe the best half defensively the Streaks have played all season long in the first half, and maybe the worst half overall the Streaks have played in the second half, and yet they hang on. They led the entire game, scored the first 8 points of the night. The closest UT was in the first quarter was down 8-5. Galesburg built a 21-point lead late in the first half at 30-9, and then the Panthers came storming back, outscoring Galesburg 19-7 in the third quarter, and got within three again, late in the game on two different occasions before hitting a three with 0.2 seconds left that made the difference. The 3 points, the final margin of difference as well, 56-53. Galesburg led the whole way, but sure didn't feel like it here tonight, Jim.
No, it's one of those you just breathe deep. Gosh. As you leave and go, well, we got the win, whatever it takes. But I'll tell you what, it's going to make practices a little more intense probably for this week off now for the Silver Streaks, as they don't play again until Alleman next Friday night. And I don't know, maybe if in the hindsight it makes them a lot more coachable. After the first half, they might have thought, well, we really don't need to work on a whole lot. And after the second half, we need to work on everything. And again, that's magnified by United Township playing so much better. We didn't play very well, there's no question, but they just hit a bunch of shots that normally they don't make. I mean, they had some opportunities in the first half and didn't make them. And so, you know, we think, oh, we played great defense. Well, you play good defense, but the other team missed shots. I mean, you're never going to be able to just completely keep the other team from having shot attempts. And when they get hot, and especially when they got hot as a team, if it's just one guy and you don't guard him, then, yeah, you need to be taking task on that. But when it's the whole team and they're spreading the ball around pretty well, you know, it's pretty tough to guard. And really, I thought, you know, the guy that I thought was maybe a little too animated at times, but Keegan Wenskunas, the one that drew, I think, really, maybe when he took that charge against Grant Gibson in the third quarter, and you know, I thought, man, you're getting awful fired up for a team that's down 20 points or whatever. But then he comes down, he hits a three, and he hits another three, and it seemed like his team and the crowd that they brought down just built off of his energy. I mean, bordering on cockiness, if you want to call it that. But whatever it took, that was what seemed to really spirit this team back into it.
Well, you talked about the message that Mark Polite probably delivered in the locker room based on the energy we saw this team come out and play with in the second half. I mean, there's no doubt that they earned what they created. I mean, because they weren't doing anything right in the first half, and it was a completely different team that came out in the second half. Now, I think they came out slugging in the third quarter, knocked Galesburg back into the ropes, and I don't feel like the Streaks ever fully recovered the whole second half, and we're lucky the time just finally ran out.
That's a good way to put it, because I kept feeling like, okay, at some point they've made their run, this thing will settle in, we'll take charge again and, you know, kind of like Quincy did against them and go ahead and win it by you know, 12 or 15 points right. or more. That never happened. You know, we just truly held on to this and were able to finally get out of their press and get some layup opportunities that allowed us to make five field goals in the fourth quarter and then made just enough free throws to keep them at bay. But even the free throws, my goodness, on our home court, I don't know that I've seen a Silver Streaks team have as bad a half shooting free throws as we did in this one, especially as many opportunities as we had
in the second half. 27 free throws in the second half. You don't get, I don't know if Streak shot 27 free throws the whole Taylor Bell tournament the way that was officiated down there. They got 27 in the second half, made only 12 of them. Ended up 50% for the game. Felt like 15%. 50% for the game, 16 of 32. I guess as long as we're talking numbers, might as well go ahead and do our final statistics here in the post game. Brought to you by McDonald's. I'm loving it, but only because the Streaks hang on. These in numbers. Actually, you know, statistically, Streaks shot well. But, man, watching the game, it doesn't feel like they shot well. Yeah, I was noticing that, too. Mike Reynolds is out of the locker room, and his head is... Looks like it weighs about 100 pounds on his shoulders over there.
Well, at least they didn't lose it. If they'd have lost this game, we'd have just all had
We'd have just gone off the air.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going home.
Oh, man. Streaks win it, 56-53. They shoot 19 of 37 from the field. Still ended up 51% for the game.
Unbelievable.
After that 2-for-7 offering in the third quarter. The UT Panthers, which were shooting 14% at halftime, they had two whole field goals in the first half, none in the second quarter. They were 2 of 14 at that point. But then they light it up in the second half and end up 44% for the game, 19 out of 43. Reboundings, looked like UT ended up winning that battle, 28-26. And again, that third quarter... That was so evident what was happening because they were killing us on the boards, too, there. And that's what you'll always hear coaches say, rebounding is almost pure effort. I mean, well, unless you got, you know, three guys that are 7 foot and just stand there. But otherwise, it's whoever wants it and gets works for the position and gets there, most often it's an effort thing. And that stat was clearly in the Panthers' favor in the third quarter. And the turnovers seemed to me like there'd be a little bigger discrepancy because – UT, especially through the middle quarters, was not taking care of the ball. They ended up with 21 for the game. Silver Streaks, though, had 18 of their own. And so many of the Panthers' turnovers, we were just amazed because they really weren't pressure-type turnovers. They were just guys playing out of control, not within themselves, just sloppy turnovers.
Very sloppy, yeah.
In the end, I mean, they only lose this thing by three. If they take a little bit better care of the basketball, who knows what happens. So... Fortunate to escape with a win, and again, when you're ahead 30-10 at halftime, like the Silver Streaks were, I never dreamed we'd have been sitting here wiping our brow going, whoa, we just barely hung on to that one.
Streaks gave up 43 points in the second half. Now,
to a probably one of the worst offensive teams we'll play all year, yeah. Normally.
I mean, UT barely averages 43 for a game. And they allowed 43 to him in the second half. If you extend that out over the course of the game, that's 86 points a game. And I know Mike Reynolds is going to have something to say about that.
he'd clear the whole roster out if they give that many up in conference play. But it's just one of those weird things. You get teams together. And it's not just at the high school level. I've seen games certainly at the college and even NBA level sometimes turn around like this. It's just, you know, the scientists all tell you that, well, there's really no such thing as momentum and, there's a
Baloney.
Big thing called momentum. And guys start to believe in what they do. They get a little more spring in their step, and crazy things happen. And it almost did here tonight. Fortunately, we were able to just hold on to win it.
Finish off the rest of the team statistics. UT 8 of 21 from three-point range. Gelsberg just 2 of 9. They took only one three-point shot in the second half, largely because once UT put on that full-court press, they pretty much stick with it the rest of the game. So Galesburg was breaking it, getting some layups down court and some high-percentage shots that way. So only one three-point attempt in the entire second half, 2-for-9 for Galesburg. Free throw shooting, Galesburg got 20 more attempts than UT at the foul line. So they're probably walking out of here feeling like they made a trip down to Quincy here, the way things go. Panthers were 7 of 12 from the free throw line, Galesburg 16 of 32. They sure didn't take advantage of being at the free throw line, shooting only 50%. Individual scoring, both teams I take it back. UT had just two players in double figures. Lamont Mitchell and Trevor May each finished with 11. But they got contributions from everybody offensively and defensively tonight. Cody Vroman had 8. Deverick Rogers finished with 7. Keegan Winskunas was the spark plug off the bench with 6. Ryan Meredith had 4. Michael Chironas with 3. Evan Spurgettis had 2. And Raymond Chironas had a point. And the only player who did not score was Dalton Oaks for United Township. For the Silver Streaks, 3 players in double figures. Grant Gibson finished under his season scoring average with 18. Coming off his career high in the varsity level Tuesday with 14 against Dunlap, Joe Williams comes back tonight, betters it by 1 with 15, along with 6 rebounds. Teron Diggins had 10 points for the Streaks. Ryan Carl, Denzel Jones with 4 each. Ethan Meeker with 3. Tyson Parks had 2. Logan Davis, Carson Cheeseman, Bryce Reed, Marcus Ross all got time on the floor but did not score for the Streaks, who escaped with a win here tonight, 56-53. They're now 11-8 on the season and 3-1 in the Western Big Six Conference. UT drops to 3-14 and 1-3 in conference play. Galesburg sophomores barely hung on tonight to win 36-34. There was a case of another game, kind of set the tone for the night, up 12 in the fourth quarter, and UT came all the way back. They hit a three-pointer right before the end of the game. They walk out of here with a win. So it was nip and tuck as both games came down the stretch, but the sophomores do prevail 36-34 after losing one at the buzzer to Dunlap on Tuesday. Take a break here on the post-game show. We anticipate a word with Streaks head coach Mike Reynolds when we come back. We also have our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game to present here for the night. 56-53, Galesburg hangs on, beats United Township. More from John Field Gymnasium coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Illinois fans, it's time for Big Ten basketball. Come out and cheer on your nationally ranked Fighting Illini as they take on top 25 opponents from across the conference. It's a historic start to a storied program and a Big Ten season you won't want to miss. Tickets are on sale now, but going fast. Help us sell out Assembly Hall for every Big Ten game this season. Visit FightingIllini.com to buy your tickets today. Go Illini!
GHS Silver Streaks Basketball and WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, and by Chuck Ross of Bell Foster Company, making it happen.
Pick up your blue WGIL button today at a participating sponsor. For details, visit our website at WGIL.com.
56-53, the final tonight as Galesburg defeats United Township, improves to 3-1 in the Western Big Six Conference. The Streaks barely hang on, but do defend the home court here. And we'll talk it over with Streaks head coach Mike Reynolds here as our post-game interview brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Jim, take it away with the head coach.
All right, as we celebrate a victory, but Mike, I don't think you're probably in a celebrating mood after a 30-10 lead at halftime, nearly all evaporated. This was kind of a head scratcher tonight.
Well, I mean, I knew they were going to make a run. I didn't think it would be like that, but I think we aided them by missing 15 free throws the second half. I mean, you just can't. We left too many points on the board, and then we gave them hope. Just imagine if we made 10 of those. I mean, how hard, how long can you continue to fight and play hard and fire threes in it if your lead is still not, you know, still not getting any smaller? And I think we did that in the fourth quarter. I mean, we had an 8-point lead going in the fourth, and with 4 minutes to go, we're still up 8. So I'm like, I think we've got it a little bit under control here. You know, we're up 6 with, 6 seconds left, and they brought down, and who cares if they fire 3 and then, you know. And then, you know, 0.2 left on the clock. Game's basically over as long as somebody touches the ball.
We're talking at limiting them to 10 points in the first half, and obviously they've had their challenges offensively this year. This is not the first time they've struggled scoring, so at that point, we're saying, well, is our defense that good tonight, or is UT just honestly that bad? Well, then in the second half, it seemed like they made shots that they may not have made all year. How do you as a coach break down what your defense did? Was it all them? Was it all us? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a combination. I mean, well, we made them shoot contested shots in the first half. In the second half, they were able to get dribble penetration and kickouts, and they were a little more open. They were a little more comfortable. They got a couple layups to fall. They got a couple inside the arc to fall, and then they hit 7 or 8 threes in the second half. And it looked like we were hanging on for dear life there for a while. But, I thought we finished the game okay. Once you got to the last 2 or 3 minutes, I thought we moved the ball and spaced the floor. the right guys had the ball. We got to make free throws. I mean, there's no reason for us to miss, you know, 15 free throws in the second half of a game. I mean, that's unexcusable, and I think our guys know that. But, you know, with the young guys, we lost focus. We did that at Taylorville, got to beat. You know, we just had just big enough a lead here that we didn't get beat. But, you know, if we're going to beat really good teams all the way through the stretch, if we're going to be in this conference race, you know, the first half to end in tomorrow or end in next Friday, I don't know when the last time, you know, the streaks were right there, you know, ending the first half with a chance. I mean, if we're going to do that, we're going to win close games. Got to make some shots. Got to make some free throws. And you know, we're leaving here. We should have 70 points tonight. We should have 70 points. And you know, we're sitting here with 56.
When you coach a long time, you see a little bit of everything. And I'm sure you've had situations like this before. When you call a timeout, do you have to talk to yourself and say, okay, I don't want to blow up at the guys, or I don't want to seem like I'm panicking here?
A little bit. I think, you know, we just challenge their toughness. Are we tough enough offensively and defensively to do what we want to do? And I think in the last 3-4 minutes, we did that. It really, the whole fourth quarter, basically, we got the shots we wanted. We moved the ball, made them come out and guard us. You know, we were mirrored in some big foul trouble there in the first half. Guys that came in contributed in the second half. You know, we had a couple travel calls. We had a couple turnovers, not a ton. I don't think we turned it over a lot. I mean, we got, you know, 27 free throws the second half. How many times could you really have turned it over? But, you know, we got to be better. We got to be better defensively and a little better stay in the moment, a little better focus. And that comes from our seniors, and that comes from Grant. And you know, they've earned that kind of pressure. They're good enough to earn that kind of pressure. So, you know, we got to see how it folds out. I know that we'll have a good week of practice, and we'll come back next weekend and compete again.
Well, as we said, I'm sure, you know, maybe at halftime the guys would have thought they got everything covered. You might not have to work too hard this week. But after that second half, they're probably expecting a little adjustment this week.
Yeah, I mean, we go hard. We're going to go hard, and we're gonna fight and make us play. And then, you know, we'll see where that shakes out next weekend.
Well, and, you know, another thing that we brought up in this game, that you went small. In fact, had Grant in the post where he can do some things against a team like UT. But we really didn't get much from Ryan Carl and Marcus Ross and even Tyson off the bench offensively. So you really kind of were forced to do some different things.
Yeah, I thought Denzel came in and played well. I thought Tyson gave us some good minutes. And Marcus and Ryan, I mean, it's not a great game for those guys because, you know, it's a press situation. By the time it got, you know, and when you need smaller guys in and you need, you know, they're going to get all over you. It's like when I used to coach against Manuel and Champaign Central, you got to drive the ball. You got to drive the ball right back down their throat, and Grant did that. You know, Trevon did that a little bit. Joe did that. Meeker did that a little bit. But you got to have all five guys being able to do that, or they just swarm. And they were able to do that.
Is Trevon a little limited at all? It doesn't seem like he's penetrating as well as he did as we saw him at the Taylorville tournament, or is it just the opposition?
You know, I don't know. You know, I know he got banged up a few times in the game, cramped up. He just has to find a way to gut it out. I mean, he's not getting any time off. He's got 2 days here. We're going to give him a couple days off, and then it's time to gut it out again.
All right, Coach. Again, in the paper tomorrow, it's just a win is a win, but we're kind of sweating a little bit getting out of here tonight, thankful to come away with a win. So I guess bottom line is you got it done, you go forward.
Always fun to win. Thanks.
Mike Reynolds, as always, joining us in the post game. Our thanks to him for his comments at the end of the game here. Streaks hang on 56-53. Win it over United Township and improved to 3-1 in the Western Big Six and 11-8 overall. Take a final break on the post game show. We'll give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good morning, Rick. How's it going?
Bad, bad.
The capacitors on this unit are shot. Hate electronics.
Here, put this on.
I'm sorry, the WGIL button?
Yeah, you're not yourself without the button. Better?
Better.
Wear a button, win some cash. Pick up your WGIL button at Arby's on North Henderson, at Bill's Auto Body on the corner of Grand and Farnham, or at Galesburg Nissan in front of the Sandburg Mall, all in Galesburg. Details at WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
It's breakfast with the Silver Streaks girls tomorrow as they open the Martin Luther King Tournament against Peoria Central. We'll have pregame coverage at 8:40 in the morning, tip-off at 9 here on WGIL.
No, I would...
Back here on WGIL at Downfield Gymnasium as the Silver Streaks prevail 56-53 over a United Township team that drops to 3-14. Didn't look like a team. At least the second half didn't look like a team that's won only three times this year. Our final order of business is our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Good chunk of this game, Jim. We didn't think we were really going to have a crunch time, but turns out we did.
Yeah, we didn't anticipate up 20 at half to have to worry about there being a crunch time, but things got pretty crispy at the end of this. And I mentioned at the end of the game, maybe we should give it to Carson Cheeseman just for throwing it off the back of the guy in the last 2 seconds to finally end this thing. And I would almost do that, but I don't want to seem too flip, and you know that might be just a little too funny to do that. But I mean, it really. Just to hear that final buzzer was a relief.
Big relief.
I agree with you. I think we couldn't make many free throws, and that was the bugaboo, as Mike was telling us. And one of the guys that did step up and hit a few there toward the end was Joe Williams. And so I think we've got to give it to Joe for keeping them at bay enough to win this game.
Joe did a lot of things right tonight. Did some nice things defensively. Ended up as the Streaks' leading rebounder with six, but. You know, it was almost kind of a breath of fresh air when the ball went into his hands there in the final minute and a half, because he was the one guy who stepped to the line and made them. He made four of his last five, 7 for 9 for the game on a night when the Streaks shot as a team only 50%. Even Grant Gibson, one of the more reliable shooters from the free throw line, struggled from the stripe tonight. So it was nice to have Joe there. Finished with a career high 15, but it wasn't that. It was those free throws down the stretch that gave the Streaks just enough of a cushion that Mike Reynolds seemed, I don't know, maybe it's in hindsight, maybe it's a little separation from the end of the game. He seemed to be a little more relieved, seemed to have a little more confident attitude about that fourth quarter than we sure did up here.
Yeah, that's, and sometimes, sometimes we get him right on the heels of the end of the action, and other times it's a few minutes, and this time might have benefited from him having a little time to think things over and still look at the fact they got a win, because he acted calm, cool, and collected here on our post game, but I guarantee you he wasn't quite all that internally when that game was finally over. And I think some lessons were learned, and he probably passed those along in the locker room before he left the kids in the post game. The one thing I was going to ask him, of course, he and Mark Polite are good friends, the head coach of United Township, and coached together. I was going to say, I wonder if he'd like to get a bottle of what Mark said at halftime to his team, because obviously Mark didn't make some small adjustments. I think most of Mark's adjustments at halftime were energy. I would guess he breathed a lot of life into these kids at halftime for them to play as inspired as they did in the second half.
Yeah. They outscored Galesburg 43-26 in the second half, but it wasn't enough. Galesburg hangs on, leads the whole way, 56-53 the final. Galesburg now 11-8 on the season, 3-1 on the Western Big Six. UT drops to 3-14 and 1-3 in the conference. So we're off for a week. At least the boys are. Jim's not. He'll be here with the girls for a couple of games tomorrow. Good games. Peoria Central, 8:40 pregame if everything goes as it should. And a 9 o'clock tip-off as the girls are into their Martin Luther King tournament. Then Champaign Centennial will be the nightcap game coming up at 7:30 tomorrow night. Galesburg boys next action. Once again, right here at home next Friday night with Alleman coming into town. And they're a team searching for some answers. See, they beat Moline? Or do they not have a win yet? I can't even remember now.
Yeah, they did get Moline.
Okay, so they're 1-3. Moline is 1-3. UT is 1-3. So there's some real separation in the conference right now. It's going to make that game with Quincy here in a few weeks real important, and a lot of interest in that Quincy Rock Island game next Friday night as they're 4-0 and 3-1, and Galesburg's 3-1. Good position to be in with a few more games in your home court coming up.
Well, and that'll be such a crucial game for Rock Island, because they don't want to let Quincy get a two-game bulge in the lead, because if they do, then Rock Island needs help.
Yep.
And so that'll be a big, big game for the Rocks, and I would guess they'll come out and win that. Where's that at? Do you know offhand? If it's at Quincy, good luck.
Yeah.
They're a good team.
But that also means Rock Island gets Galesburg and Quincy at their place in the second half if that game is at Quincy next week. And, of course, Quincy still has to come to Galesburg, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
All right. Well, bottom line here, we'll rest for a week and relax with an easy win here over United Township tonight. But it certainly shows that you can't overlook anybody in the Western Big Six. And the Streaks better not do that with Alleman coming into town
next week.
Yeah, well, and next week, of course, the Martin Luther King Tournament after Alleman. So we got two games on Saturday, two more on Monday. And so you'll five games in, what, 3 or 4 days there. So it'll be – they'll need the rest, and hopefully we'll play more like they did in the first half, less like they did in the second half for the next 5 days.
56-53, Galesburg Beach United Township tonight. Sophomores also winners, 36-34. For Nick Simpson at the downtown studio, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz here at John Thiel Gymnasium. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, folks. Don't forget Silver Streaks girls basketball tomorrow at 9 o'clock and 7:30 as Coach Evan Massey's team plays in their Martin Luther King tournament. Good night from John Thiel Gymnasium.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks boys basketball on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.